Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Ask your doctor about Air Supra, albuterol budesonide. Eligible patients can pay as little as $0 per inhaler, subject to eligibility rules and maximum savings limits. Restrictions may apply. Visit airsuprasavings.com to learn more.
Hey, you know what would be a great companion piece for this podcast? A little bit of Solace Meds from our friends at Solace Meds. That's right, you need a little bit of herb, maybe a little bit of drink, whether it's flowers, edibles, drinkables, concentrates, tinctures, whatever you need, they've got you covered at Solace Meds. They've got a bunch of convenient locations, including one just down the street from the DNVR bar. They've got constant specials going on for you. You can check them out at solacemeds.com. That's SOLACEMeds.com. Use promo code DNVR20. You'll get 20% off your purchase, plus a free King Cone bar. Absolutely fantastic stuff from them down at Solace Meds. They've got really knowledgeable bud tenders that can help you find exactly what you need, whether you're looking for some of the psychoactive stuff, having a good time. Maybe you just need some CBN or some CBD, a little extra sleep or a little extra help with your appetite, whatever it may be. They've probably got something for you. So do not delay. Go to solacemeds.com, SOLACEMeds.com, and do not forget to use promo code DNVR20. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Priestman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. And with me on this episode is the voice of the Colorado Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet and the host of the Drew Goodman podcast is Drew Goodman.
What's happening, Drew? How are you, man?
Feeling good. You know what, Goody? It's a good week to be a member of the Colorado Rockies community in any way, shape, or form. You know, they took their first sweep at home all year against the Giants there, and I got to say, didn't feel it. Barely felt a thing. Because I'd love to be clever and start somewhere else, but we're having you on just a couple of days after Larry Walker finally, officially inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was overdue, right? I don't think there was any question about his credentials. And I'm just glad he got in rather than debate how it happened. I loved what Teddy Simmons said, speaking of, a wait. You know, he had to wait a long period of time, and that was part of his journey. And he embraced it, and he says, but I'm here. And I think that Larry feels that. And I think that, it was monumental beyond just for Larry Walker and his family and the people that are close to Walk. It was monumental for people who follow the Rockies and follow Major League Baseball in this region, because we've been a novelty act and we've been spoken about as such, even when individuals have great credentials and put up lofty numbers, it always seemingly came with an asterisk from everybody among the baseball community. And so to see Larry Walker rightfully acknowledged for his greatness, it opens the door naturally for Todd Helton, but for others down the road. And I think it sets an example for people to take a deeper dive and not just the quick wave of the hand and be dismissive at whatever is accomplished offensively for guys that play in Denver.
Yeah, you know, I think that's always been one of the biggest elements of this. You know, Goody, obviously we're storytellers of the game, right? And so and we're doing it from out here. And so a big part of our job is to explain what's going on. And it was both a little bit frustrating, but also so relieving hearing so many people yesterday, some just fans on Twitter, some even national writers or whomever, say, oh, now that I'm really looking into it, boy, this guy was good, wasn't he? Wasn't he good? And we've all got to kind of just take it and go, yeah, we knew that, but we're glad you're all, we're going to welcome you into, we don't want to be upset about it. Just welcome in to knowing about it. And like you said, I hope that extends to further, whether it's examinations of Todd Helton for the Hall of Fame, or hopefully extending to looking at the guys who are on the team now and understanding, you know, better the flip side of it and how impressive it is that guys like Germán Márquez and Antonio Sensatella, who are still 26 years old, already have 4 or 5 years of above average pitching. And in Márquez's case, sometimes great pitching under his belt out here, that we're getting a much fuller context for this conversation is only going to benefit everyone, from Larry Walker to Colton Welker, who made his major league debut on the same day. But yeah, I'm excited for hopefully the beginning of a, and I think you put it that way on Twitter, right? That this is kind of the beginning of a new age almost for Rockies.
Well, I just think hopefully that we can begin truly to dismiss, as I put it, the uneducated narrative that had been pervasive in the baseball writers community. They're the, you know, the Baseball Writers Association are the ones who write, or excuse me, vote on the Hall of Fame. It went beyond that, certainly. It's people who cover the game, people who are fans of the game. Oh, big deal. So a guy, you know, hit 40 homers in Colorado. He hit 350 at Coors Field, and he hit 250 on the road. He's not that good. And it was lazy. It lacked education. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, we're in an analytics age, and there are a lot of people that follow all of you on DNVR and are members of Sabre and love the game, and they're very outspoken on social media. And yet they fail to understand, I think, sometimes that inside the game of baseball, some of those pitchers you mentioned are held in really high regard in other front offices because they understand how difficult it is to pitch at altitude. And they don't look at a guy with a four and a half ERA and just think, well, he's not very good, or he's just average, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the position players. And they don't look at a guy that hits, you know, 350 at Coors Field and 250, as I said, on the road and say, oh, you know what, not real good player. They understand. And I think that since they understand, and if you believe in analytics and also the other elements of what make, you know, should formulate, I think, an intelligent opinion, which go beyond analytics, then you'll come to find that there's a lot of great players that have played for Colorado and will do so in the future.
Yeah, I'd always been interested in this topic, but there was a conversation I had actually with Chad Bettis, who, and I think this was like right when he was on his way out the door too. He'd gotten hurt again. I think he was coming in to announce his season was over. He'd been talking with us. It was a long conversation with us. I hung out with him for an extra 20 minutes talking about this topic because we had gotten into it before. And he basically sent me down this path, and it's why these days I'm so obsessed with things like ERA plus and OPS plus, and particularly the history of the Rockies. And it was this one thing he said to me. I put this in the piece I wrote at the time. He said, we have to be the best in baseball at adjustments. Baseball is a game of adjustments. For everybody, it's a game of adjustments. But the Colorado Rockies have to be the best in baseball at it. And we know they haven't always been. And you see those, but whether you're talking about pitchers, hitters, doesn't matter. The difference in the environment, the things that change, they've got to be the best at making adjustments. And we don't oftentimes think about baseball in those terms. Like you said, we'll look at just the one stat or the other and say, okay, you know, you can look at Elias Diaz's season numbers this year and go, hey, he had an okay season. Or you can say, whoa, that guy made an adjustment.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's why you have to look, you know, beyond just the surface numbers. And here's something else. I'm going to talk about this maybe a little bit tonight in the broadcast. I've mentioned this before. I think we all fall in a trap of when a guy reaches a certain level and you say, okay, man, that's his level. Why is it that guys can't get better and aspire to get better? Because if you were talented enough and worked your ass off enough to get to the big league level, you're driven, and you don't, that drive for 99% does not stop because you've established yourself.
Right.
So a guy who's 30, like you mentioned, in Diaz, who's, you know, trials and tribulations up and down. I mean, he was really the third string catcher last year. You remember that, Drew.
Yeah.
And now he's been allowed to get better. He has gotten a lot better. The numbers support that. With your eyes, you can tell just his strike zone discipline, et cetera. The number of balls that he seems to barrel has gotten better, and I think that's a great thing. You know, there's probably no better example of this, Drew, than what, you know, many of us caught a glimpse of last night. 44-year-old Tom Brady playing like 24-year-old Tom Brady. And if you ask Tom, I'm throwing a mic in front of his mouth, I don't know Tom Brady at all, but everybody kind of knows Tom Brady and sure. How he's changed his body and how he works out, etc. Tom Brady's won 7 world championships. He didn't prepare for this season then, you know what, I want to maintain. You know, I managed to be pretty good at 43, which is extraordinary, and we won it all. He was trying to get better. He's trying to get better, not stay the same. And so to take that with some of these other guys like Diaz, who's to say, Drew, that a year from now, we're not talking about Diaz as, you know what, he's one of the better two-way catchers in the National League. Why not? He's been that the last 3 months, right?
Sure, yeah. About 60 games, 65, 66 games. Diaz putting up an OPS of like 868, something like that. And then, yeah, still really smooth behind the dish, great arm, all the stuff. Yeah, I'm very excited about the future of him. And then, you know, not to bury anyone who we've loved in the past, Colorado Rockies catchers who have almost always been fan favorites and guys that we've loved. But you look up and you see a guy with 15, 16 home runs and you're like, whoa, that is a change of pace for this.
I got my scorebook here because I was doing some work when I was getting ready to sit down with you, and I'm going to grab something real quick, if you don't mind.
Let's see it. Yeah, let's.
So the Rockies, this was as of 3 days ago, but it's going to be very close. They were 9th in slugging and tied for 8th in Major League Baseball in home runs. So an upper third, that's as a unit, obviously, Dom Nunez's contributions as well. Last year, they were 29th in slugging and they hit 2 home runs. The year before, full season, 28th in home runs with 9 for, that's not one guy. That's, and again, I'm not without mentioning his name, and now I will, trying to beat up Tony Walters. Tony was great defensively and you know, tried to get the ball in play offensively, wasn't going to hit a lot of home runs. And they were 24th in slugging, playing half their games at Coors Field. So now with Diaz and how he's come on, and Dom Nunez hasn't hit for average, but he's hit some home runs. Now there's a threat toward the bottom of the lineup that if you make a mistake, you know, you may get a 2-run homer. And that's something they have not had, really since Iannetta, some years ago when Chris was still playing and more in his prime.
Yeah. OG Iannetta, even veteran Iannetta, who still had some of that pop. You were kind of waiting around. You're like, hey, he might get a hold of one really here. But right now you're looking for it with Diaz.
Drew, real quick, you mentioned the 60 set. You know, it's even probably longer than that with Diaz. You'd probably go 80, 90 games, whatever. JT Realmuto, who is always looked upon as the class of two-way catchers in baseball, and it's why the Phillies paid him so handsomely. His numbers, I think, are better than Realmuto's over the last, you know, half a season.
Well, speaking of Realmuto, let's plug some stuff, and then we'll get into the game last night. But how about that? I'm still drinking my Strava Craft coffee. If you're out there with your Breck brews, hopefully you're not watching the live and you're listening to this at a later date, or you're in the coast in a different country. I'm not judging your behavior. I'm just saying it's it's morning time. So, but if you're out there, you do know you can get a bigger one down at the DNVR bar, which is opening earlier on weekends, by the way, opening at 10. You know, we got to get that college football crowd in there and all that. Also, your day baseball game crowds in there for those weekend games. So we're getting all of that. Make sure you're checking down at the DNVR bar that you're a member of the DNVR.com. Subscribe there. You'll get access to all the written content, the discounts on the hats and shirt, the free shirt if you order the annual subscription, access to our Discord channel, all kinds of other cool stuff that you get for that, including getting hooked up with plenty of our fantastic sponsors, like our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings makes watching sports that much more fun. Sometimes it even makes it that much more lucrative if you happen to win a little extra cash. Sometimes you just get to show off your knowledge base. One of the great things about DraftKings is you can always just share a screenshot of all of the bets that you've won, and you don't have to share with anybody any of the bets that you've lost. So you can just go on social media, look like a genius about all the things that you predicted. It's fantastic. Go out there, let people know who's going to hit a home run, what the overs and unders on strikeouts or runs scored is going to be. And of course, you know, it's football season now. It is time to get in on all the football action. Whether you're betting college or the NFL, they make it a whole lot of fun. And like I said, might even put a little extra cash in your wallet. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. New customers can bet $1 on any football game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. Promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Goody. You mentioned JT Realmuto there, and I must be 100% honest with you, sir. After everything that has taken place this year and in that ball game last night, I'm starting at the end. We'll rewind him. We'll get to McMahon and Hilliard. I promise everyone. But the Phillies done came almost all the way back. And Carlos Estevez, after a really rough blown save, closed things out in Colorado and kind of secure that sweep for the Giants, right? Boy, was he on the hook again. I mean, there's the game-tying run right there at third when your team has made this epic comeback. And a real dude at the plate, a real guy. And he came through and got the job done, didn't blow the save, got to pump his fist in victory at the end. And I got to say, as someone who's known Carlos for a very long time, since he was my translator for Raimel Tapia in 2013 when they were both in rookie ball. I could not have been, this weird word used, but I could not have been more proud of the way that he responded to that moment.
No, and I get that, because you develop a relationship with some of these guys, and a lot of times relievers, I think they're the least known typically for fans, even ardent fans, when they go down the roster. You know, think back when Cargo was here, you always felt like as a fan, you kind of knew Cargo. That's one of the reasons you so adored, right? Because he's such a great guy, and you understood that. Seeing him and hearing him very frequently, even starters, you know, you're going to hear from them every fifth day. Typically, I think people have a great feel for, you know, who Kyle Freeland is. But relievers, they're out there by themselves in that pen. Then they come in, you know, a few times a week. And a lot of times you're mad at them because they give up runs, that sort of thing. But Carlos Estevez, and I know he's been pitching pretty well, had the rough outing the other day. Last night got a little dicey. Fortunately, he was able to, as you illustrated, he was able to strike out Realmuto and help the Rockies win that ball game. But on a personal level, I'm going to second what you said, because I've always enjoyed my conversations with Carlos. I had a long one with him on this last homestand. Talked to him for about 25 minutes in the dugout. I love the guy. He's a great guy, super bright guy. Here's something I don't even know if you know. His wife is a doctor, MD, and he went to school in West Virginia in high school for a year, and then unfortunately that prep school closed down, so he ended up finishing up high school in the Dominican. But super nice guy, super bright guy. Worked his tail off in the offseason on the changeup, which you see a lot more now. Mm-hmm. And he did it with Fernando Rodney and Pedro Martinez, two guys who had great changeups.
Yeah.
So I'm like you, Drew. I'm really happy for his success. Now, and it did get dicey last night, but fortunately he was able to. That's why getting those last three outs are the toughest things in the game of baseball.
Well, we saw it on the other side, right? You know,
yeah.
Bills are right there. They're fighting for a postseason spot. They're not mailing anything in. They're not trying to do anything. Let's back up one at bat. Actually, we can back up several innings, but one at bat before McMahon, though, Colton Welker. Because not only does the McMahon home run not get to happen without the at bat that Welker has there, but his first career hit and RBI earlier in the game tied him up, right? Got him on the board. And so what a ball game for Welker, but it should not be lost because we're of course going to play the, you know, the highlights of McMahon and Hilliard, but what a job, what a first full day at the office for the rookie.
Yeah. And Drew, as you point out, you know, you look at the box score and he was, you know, he was 2-for-4, run scored, and an RBI. You say, well, that's a really nice ball game. Heck, it's a terrific game, yeah. But if you dig even deeper, leadoff triple by Story, going my scorebook from yesterday, leadoff triple by Story, CJ Cron pops out, one out, and they're down 1-0 at this point. Elias Diaz, unfortunately, strikes out. Now there's two outs, and you're like, oh, my goodness, you have a leadoff triple. Runner at third, nobody out. Got scores about 87% of the time in the big leagues. And you're in jeopardy of doing the whole thing we've seen so many times from the Rockies on the road. They can't score. And this kid comes through with a solid single to center, first major league hit, picks up the RBI with two outs. That was huge.
Picks up a couple of veterans.
Right. It would have been huge wherever it took place because it's his first, right? And then I really thought, and this was an interesting move by Buddy Black, and it's one of the things that one of the reasons I think, you know, players love Buddy, one of the many reasons they do is, you know, Buddy could have pinch hit for the kid there. He's not going to feel bad. He's been a big leaguer for 5 minutes, right? Yeah. And put McMahon up there against the veteran Kennedy, and then if he ties up the game somehow, or they were down. There's a one right.
Yeah, they're down one. Yeah,
he ties up the game. You're gonna put McMahon at third for Welker. It's even up. It makes sense. It's smooth, and he elects to, and it worked out as we know. He elects to give. Hey, you know what? No, man, this is your night. We're gonna give you confidence. Ninth inning, closer. Let's see what you can do. Gets a hit, and then obviously McMahon hits a homer. And so on. And it may not have worked. Listen, we know this much. Probably 75% of the time it wouldn't have worked, right?
Down out the shortstop there and you go, oh, well, it would have been a nice story, but you know.
So those are two huge two-out hits for Colton Welker in his first major league start. It's huge.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible stuff. And backing up, like I loved it too, because like you said, in that moment, Sensatella's been pitching incredibly well. Right. So you've got that going on where he's basically only been touched at that point by Bryce Harper. I think he'd only given up one hit. Right.
Did you hear what I said? You're watching because you're at home as well. You realize that the ball that Bryce hit out and I have the utmost respect for Bryce Harper, big Bryce Harper fan. He's a great player, great talent, clearly. That ball he hit out, though, to left was out of three ballparks. Did you see that? It was out of the one he hit it in, obviously, Citizens Bank. It was out of Fenway with the Monster, and it was in the Crawford boxes in Houston. That's it.
Yeah.
Everywhere else was a flyout.
And if they had been playing anywhere, I mean, Sensatella was cruising. So like you said, it was in that moment. Then you see the two more veteran guys in Cron and Diaz who've been so great lately, but not come through. That just makes you scratch your head. So for the rookie to do it. Absolutely amazing stuff. And then McMahon, who we know is, you know, had a little bit of a power, you know, lack of power as of late, though everything else in his game has been going. And that at bat, man, he down 0-2 right away, you know, down 0-2 the whole at bat, basically, before he finally goes yard there. And you know, I know that one had to feel good for him, but still, like, what a clutch. It's Patrick Lyons, who's here in the comments a little bit, tweeted out last night, or maybe it's this morning, about guys hitting those down to their final strike home runs to put the team ahead. And it's not a lot of guys. It's not a long list of people who've done that. It's a rarity in baseball. You always know it's a possibility, but literally down to their final strike, that was cool. It's just cool when that happens.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great moment, and, you know, I'm happy for Rymack, and, you know, he's hit four homers in his last, I think, 11 games now. So that it looks like he's going to finish strong with the power stroke that somehow just kind of went away. And I don't know if it was the forearm issues. Remember, he was out, Drew, with the forearms. Whatever the reason, he's, you know, he's got 22 homers now. His career high is 24, set a couple of years ago. Yeah, I love this. And he's capable, as we know, of having one of those, you know, 10-day periods where he hits a half a dozen homers. Right. So who knows what it'll end up with, but that was huge. And he's hit some big home runs in his young career. Just asked the Dodgers late. I texted with him after the game, and he got a breaking ball that hung, and he didn't miss it, man. He crushed it. And how about the follow up? I know you want to get to that.
Woo! I mean, woo! I'm still, like, I still got hairs on him, because first of all, like, where do we even start? Because you can. Not that any hitter is going to mail in at bat. You don't do that at this level, especially not a guy like Sam Hilliard, who's still trying to prove himself. You know? But the big moment has just happened. Your team has taken the lead. To expect that you're going to go up there and add another, not necessarily the expectation. You know, the closer's still got to get his out there. And then now we know in hindsight, with what happened in the bottom half, that if Hilliard doesn't hit this homer, Rockies don't win the baseball game.
Yeah, well, we're still
we could still be playing.
We're not doing this show right now because we're probably still, you know, we're
still out there playing.
Not quite, but you know what I mean.
And then the ferocity of it. I mean, you remember that old commercial with Vince Carter, the NBA, used to say, you know, and it was all these. It was a highlight reel of all of his just most ferocious dunks. He'd say, my old coach used to say that 2 points is 2 points, but my old coach couldn't dunk, right? Just even like throwing it down. And I know it only counts as one.
Yeah, but that was a special one. I'm calling, like everybody else did. I know you did also last night. I'm calling BS on the 434 feet estimate. But I mean, he has rare power, and he's got to get the ball in play more. All the things we know, all the things we've talked about, all the things all of your good folks in this audience know. But when he runs into it, man, it's fun. Did you see the reaction? We had some great shots of the dugout. I think it was Connor Joe and Ryan McMahon. Now they're kind of leaning on the railing, looking at it, and, you know, they're talking and they're watching the at bat, and all of a sudden they both just went, their jaws dropped, kind of like we all did, you know, at home and on the broadcast. You're like, that was ridiculous.
Become an actual cartoon character. Like, people's jaws don't actually drop and their eyes don't actually bulge out of their head, and then something like that happened to them.
Yeah.
It really, really did. What was amazing to me too, and I went back and watched it watched it a couple of times, was even just how free the swing was. It was like he was cutting through butter. It was like he just dropped his hands and just kind of put the bat on his shoulder and started running around the bases. I was like, dude, I think that was one of the most impressive home runs I've seen all season. That and the CJ Cron in LA shot, I think.
Yeah, that one over the bullpen at Dodger Stadium was huge. I have to tell you that if you look at Sam Hilliard and you know, his talent is so tantalizing. He's hit home runs now off of some big name guys. I mean, he's got Syndergaard and Ryu and Hader. Remember that one? Left on left. And you know, Ian Kennedy's given up some home runs, but, you know, break out Ian Kennedy's resume today if you get a minute. Not you. I know you know it. I mean, he's hit that gives you hope, because it's not just, yeah, he's hit a few home runs against, you know, guys in September who were called up. It's not, that's not the case. He's hit some top shelf guys. He's just got to be, we know, more consistent. But what an amazing talent and what prodigious power he has.
Yeah, that was really, really fun. You know, that's why you watch the game down to their final outs. And we've mentioned it a couple of times, but we really shouldn't look over, you know, because all the drama came at the end. Antonio Senzatella has just been tremendous lately. Not just last night, but late. I mean, for about a month now.
Well, it's six straight starts. He has a 2.54 ERA. I had a scout text me late last night and again this morning saying that's the best he's seen Senzatella. And I said, you know, he's been that way now for a while. And, you know, talking privately to Buddy, he's really made a step forward. Remember we were talking earlier about getting better. And Senza's a solid guy. He's always been a solid guy, but, you know, more toward the back end. Why can't he get better? And you say, well, why is he better? His fastball command is more consistent. And the biggest thing for me, and I think we diagrammed this during the broadcast last night with Corey and Spilly and I, and Huey and I have talked about this of late quite a bit. The slider. The slider is so much more consistent. It has horizontal and vertical movement to it. It's become a plus pitch as opposed to a borderline average pitch. It's become an above average pitch. And that's one of the reasons I think you're seeing the results. Plus, you know, those guys all share something in common. When I say those guys, that rotation, obviously, when it comes to a fiery competitiveness, we always point to Freeland because he's the most demonstrative of the guys in exhibiting that competitiveness. But every bit as competitive and fiery inside are Herman and Antonio. And I'm telling you, he wants to be great. He wants to this. He was not comfortable going, well, you know what? I'm making a really good major league living and I'm the fourth or fifth starter in the Rockies rotation. He wants to be really good. And you've seen him take a significant step forward.
Yeah, it's one of the things we've talked about a lot on this show about this final month really being a great test for a lot of these guys. We know, you know, the schedule got a little soft there for a minute, but they're all major league teams. You gotta play who's on them. But really going on the road, especially this trip against some teams that are really fighting for it, that aren't giving you anything to prove that you've made these strides on the road, that you guys have grown up a little bit, and you're seeing it with Diaz contributing and Senzatella and all these things. Another guy who I think's flown under the radar a little bit, and get your thoughts on lots of guys too, but I wanted to throw in the name Lucas Gilbreth, who had another quietly very solid inning last night. And as I, you know, always every morning I get up and I check the updated ERA plus leaderboards for the Rockies. I want to know who's handling the situation. How many relievers do they have over league average? Did it dip down to just two there for a minute with Stevez and Chacin, with Bard having his struggles? Well, Lucas Gilbreth has jumped himself into being the third guy. Now he's having a really quality season out of the bullpen.
Yeah, true. I'm glad you mentioned that. And you're always on the pitchers. And when I say on, I mean in terms of, you know, really digging deep into what they're doing and their stats. And I know that about you. And Lucas Gilbreth is a great story that we like because he's a Colorado kid, right? Yeah. Lucas Gilbreth's going to be a really good piece. I mean, it's now 13 innings without allowing a run. I want to say, I'm trying to remember from last night, I want to say it's now 18 of his last 20, something like that, without giving up a run. And here's the other difference from years past. You have to face three, right? Three batter minimum. So it's not just, well, oh, he's getting lefties out. He's obviously getting righties out as well. You're seeing more giddy up on the fastball. You're seeing a guy, I said this on the air last night, a guy throwing with better tempo because he believes. He goes, you know, I can get this guy out. Give me the baseball. Let's go. I'm back on the rubber. Really one of the more under the radar exciting developments with the Rockies as you start to look forward and go, okay, who's going to be part of the solution? I think pretty clearly it looks like Lucas Gilbreth can be part of the solution to fixing that bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And a lot of this final month is going to be about continuing to test those guys and see who comes through. Carlos Estevez, big test, came through, you know, those kinds of things. So,
hey, I'm sorry, Drew, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know, you know who else, you know, and this guy's taking his lumps, but is in a really good stretch the last month is Tyler Kinley.
Yeah.
Tyler Kinley's throwing the ball really well.
He got out of a big jam the other day. Was that in the Giants series? Yeah.
Looking back for you, I agree with you. It was
bases loaded, nobody out or one out.
Yeah, it was John. He inherited, a tough situation when John Gray ran into problems, and he came in and he struck out Yastrzemski and Duggar back to back. Casale had a hit, and then he got Darren Ruff pinch hitting, end up striking out the side with a ton of traffic.
Yeah. Just these are the kinds of things you really want to see out of these guys in the future as they kind of try to cement whatever, you know, they're fighting for their jobs for next year, for whatever their role, or say, hey, this is what I can do. I can be, as Goody put it, and as we'd like to all year, a part of the solution. By the way, if you're out there looking to cement yourself with some work, you're looking for a job out there, you should get over to our friends at the Ball Corporation. You know Ball. You've probably had aluminum cans or mason jars made by them, whether you knew it or not. You know them for getting the naming rights over there at the arena where the Avs and the Nuggets play. But you may not know that they're absolutely fantastic in terms of taking care of the environment with a 100% index score on the Corporate Equality Index, the Human Rights Campaign. That means they also take care of all the people that work for them and, equal opportunities for advancement, to get hired, to get paid fairly, to get paid better. All of that fantastic stuff. Plus, Golden is just a beautiful place to work down at their aluminum can plant. Whether you care about taking care of the environment or just being treated well or just having a great place to work, it's all good down at Ball. So text Golden to 77222. You'll get linked to open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. That's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or simply text Golden to 77222. And finally, don't forget to get in your order at Hassel Cattle Company. I just put in one last night. It's so damn good. The Wagyu beef that you can also, by the way, try down at the DNVR bar. You can go and order a burger down there. But you can also, if you don't need to try it, if you've already had it before, and I'm just reminding you, get hooked up with this delicious stuff. Use promo code DNVR10 to get 10% off your entire purchase. Plus, if you order over $200, they will hook you up with free shipping. And don't forget that they've also still got a giveaway going on where they're giving away a $200 gift card and a cooler to one lucky winner. So head over to the DNVR Sports Twitter page, click on the link in the pinned tweet there. It's free to enter, win some money, some beef, all kinds of fantastic stuff. You know I love them. It's Hassel cattlecompany.com. And don't forget to use promo code DNVR10. All right, Goody. Know you had a favorite person of both of ours from Colorado Rockies community, recent and long past. And of course, his former manager, Walt Weiss, and shortstop, Walt Weiss, an all-timer, man. And it's always great to hear anyone catching up with him. But I know you guys go back a long ways, too. So just tell us what it's like to get back and chat with him again periodically throughout the years.
Yeah, I mean, I love Walt. We've always had, I think, kinship. We played against each other a little bit in high school. He was from Rockland County. I was from Westchester County and played in a couple of events against each other. And he's a New York guy. And I always say this, Walt has a unique ability to be the nicest guy in a room and the toughest guy in a room. He is a really, really bright guy, and not just about baseball things. And so I always enjoy when we chat. And he was on this week on the podcast, and we had an occasion to talk about a number of things. First of all, the Braves, as you guys talked about, Drew, last week, the Braves are a fun team to kind of dissect. They have so many stars, even with Acuña hurt. You know, Ozzie Albies, great personality, great talent. Freddie Freeman speaks for himself. And so we talked about the Braves. We talked about where the game's going, you know, power versus getting the ball in play and, you know, the trends. And you know, he always has an interesting take. And naturally, we talked about his old friend, a guy that he played with, in Larry Walker, and where he falls. And I think what some of the things he said are fascinating, where he falls among the guys he played with and against. And remember, Walt played a long time. And he played on some really good teams with some all-time players, not just good players in their respective era, the Canseco's and the Ricky Henderson's and the Chipper Jones and, you know, the great pitching triumvirate down in Atlanta of Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddox. So he had some, you know, I thought really interesting takes and different types of takes on a number of topics that we get into. And we also did a little football this week. You know, I love football too. So we talked about that for all your CSU alum. I got on my soapbox a little bit about what's going on.
Love it. 'Tis the season, right?
Yeah.
I was telling you about this a little bit before we came on, but yeah, Walt Weiss was the manager when I first really started getting to regularly cover Rockies games. And, you know, you have to figure out that whole dynamic. And it's always interesting, you know, trying to cover games. And the manager is one of the people that, as a member of the press, you interact with the most. You know, and I always thought that he was great. Like, as great as Bud Black is, and is maybe even easier as it probably would have been, there were certain ways in which, you know, getting to know Walt Weiss and talking to him off the record and him kind of challenging me about some of the questions I asked, but in a very fair way, like you said. And he was never intimidating or anything like that. But I remember having a couple of very candid conversations with him, and I was surprised by how candid and earnest he was being with it. He didn't treat me differently than anybody else. He didn't treat me like I was the new guy, like I was the kid, I was the rookie. He just like I had asked a question with anybody else, and he was totally fine to treat me that way. And even I remember one time kind of asking him about why he had done something in the bullpen, and he gave, you know, the public answer. And then he just sort of pulled me aside after a minute, and he said, "Look, here, this guy wasn't available. That guy really not feeling well right now. And have you seen how these two guys have been pitching lately?" You know, and he just kind of gave me the real. It's like, so those are my options, just so you know. And I really appreciated that about him. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I think a man. First of all, that's Walt. Walt's going to treat everybody with great respect, because that's truly who he is. And then as he pulled you aside, that's one of the things that you get, Drew, doing what we all do. But a lot of fans at home don't. They're like, "Well, why didn't they bring in so-and-so?" They're not going to tell you. They may tell, you know, broadcasters privately that, "Hey, so-and-so's down and so-and-so's down," and I won't say it. Then when it happens and they're not going to get, you know, somebody you think, "Boy, why isn't so-and-so in the game? This is normally where he'd be." And then you can reveal, well, actually, they're giving him an extra day, a little bit sore, whatever the reason. But you're not going to announce that at 5 o'clock to everybody. And then the other dugout knows, "Hey, we don't have to worry about, you know, so-and-so because he's not available." And a lot of times managers get beaten up, you know, especially now on social media. They're like, "Well, why didn't he bring in so-" Well, you guess what? He wasn't going to tell you, but as he told you privately, that guy wasn't available and that guy wasn't available last night. That's why I brought in so-and-so, who I know has been struggling, and we put our fingers together and hope that, you know, he bounced back.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it really was. They say you always remember your first, but that's a lot of it has to do with, you know, he helped me become much better at my job by being that way. You know, not that was his goal or whatever, but that was the end result for me in our interactions with each
other. Because he treats people with great respect.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. And Buddy's the same way.
Right. And so, yeah, I've been very lucky that those are the two guys that I've, you know, sort of covered the team under. And
you missed Tracy, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Tracy, let me tell you what, Drew, you would have been rolling in the aisle listening to Trace on a day-to-day basis. He was, I mean, great. I'm gonna get. I got to get him on again. I haven't talked to Trace in a little more than a year, but he is so funny. One of the great storytellers, and for me, kind of one of the great characters in baseball, at least you know, in my time. But yeah, the Rockies have had some. You know, listen, Clint Hurdle could tell a story too. So
Clint Hurdle's the one guy I got to cover him just for one weekend when the Pirates were in town. I did a little stringer work and just covered the Pirates for that weekend and was in their clubhouse, and he was great.
Yeah.
I've probably told this story on this show before, but I got to tell him the story of the time in 07 when he kind of called out the media for not knowing his team. It was like one of the first questions in right before the NLDS when they had won game 163, and somebody said, "What? Now tell us something about some of these guys. We don't know much about them. We don't know this team." And he was kind of expecting a fun response, I think. And Clint just said, "Well, shame on you then. Shame on you for not knowing our ball club better, because we deserve to be here. We played hard, you know." And he did the whole thing. And I thought about that speech when I was deciding whether or not I wanted to get into this as a living. I thought about that moment of like, well, what do I have to offer that other writers, it's covered. There's a million sports writers out there in the world. And I said, no, you can be the guy in the room who knows the ball club. You can be that guy. And that was kind of what got me into it. And I told Clint that, because this was years later, that was in 07, right? So this would have been 17, 18. I tell him that story and said, all right, good for you, man. Go get him.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Yeah. And I know in Clint, I know he appreciated you telling him that. And one of the things that I have great respect for Clint, a lot of guys would feel as he did and, you know, make it more friendly for the general public. But Clint wasn't afraid to scold, as you said, the media, and say, you know what? Yeah, you know Boston well, you know New York well. You know the Dodgers well. Why the hell don't you know us? Well, guess what? We won a lot of ball games. We won 90-plus games. We earned our right to be here. And because you're not as familiar with the names, that's on you.
Yeah.
And he's somebody that would be, you know, frank about it and somewhat in your face about it. And I applaud him for that.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, if not specifically that particular presser, others like it where he would challenge people, and most guys would not, because it's, you know, maybe a little bit confrontational. But I have great respect that Clint, you know, Clint would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, all right. I think that's about, now we got a couple more games coming up in Philly. What are you looking forward to? What's going on in the world of Drew Goodman? Do you know yet who's on the show next week on the Drew Goodman podcast? For the
people? You know, I have one in my hip pocket that I'm going to utilize, and it may be this week. And I may have mentioned it to you last week, Drew. And if I did, forgive me for being redundant, but Rolando Fernandez is the VP of Latin American operations and has been for a long time. And he gives people kind of a crash course on what happens in Latin America overall and specific to the Rockies, and some insight on some young players coming, which I know is right up your alley.
Ezekiel Tovar conversation I can handle, I'll tell you.
Yeah. We talk about Tovar, Ezekiel Tovar, who's now in Spokane. So, yeah, that's coming up. If it's not this week, it'll be in the next couple, but it may very well be this week.
Excellent. We'll all be tuning in. As I've said many times before, you're listening to this right now on a podcast app of some kind on your phone or on your computer, which means you've got very easy access to the Drew Goodman podcast. Just search for it. We're wrapping up this show now. We're done here. You're done listening to this podcast. You might as well go and listen to that one. Go and check up, get all caught up. David Bodie last week, Walt Weiss this week. It's always somebody fun and interesting. Rolando for now, I can't wait, but that's going to be fantastic. I'm always getting in on all that. You know, we're always watching the games. It's always funny when I tell our audience here too, and don't forget to watch the game tonight. They're like, we're not going to forget to watch the game tonight, Drew. We watch all the games right along with you. But this road trip, you know, we Patrick and I were talking about how this could be a real doozy, and the Rockies could have a real rough end of the season here, especially with some injuries and trying to give some guys some time. And sometimes that means inexperience is going to cost you some wins. So to see him kind of get the best of both worlds, to give a guy his first start, to go with this younger bullpen, Gilbreth getting big innings, sticking with Estevez, and still pulling out the win against a team in a postseason hunt, that's good stuff if you're a Rockies fan.
Yeah, it was great stuff. Last night was big fun. It's why we love the game. Yeah, the Rockies aren't going to end up in the postseason. We've known that for quite some time. But that was entertaining. That was entertaining to see Sensatella pitch well again, and then the ninth inning. And who knows what's in store tonight. I agree with you guys. You know, there's the potential for a rough ride down the stretch with some of the injuries to the Rockies and playing, for the most part, really good teams that are – you know, trying to figure their way into the postseason and biting and scratching every night to win a ball game. So that's going to make it tough, but it'll also make it entertaining. And, you know, in the long term, it'll help some of these guys that are playing, you know, in somewhat pressure situations.
Yeah. Plus, I get to lord it over Darren down at the DNVR bar, who's a huge Phillies fan. So yeah.
There you go.
Always fun. Bragging rights. That's what sports is really about. That's really what it all comes down to at the end of the day. So thank you all for hanging out with us, watching this episode, listening to the Drew Goodman podcast, watching the games, all that good stuff. Follow us on social media at Drew Kreisman, at Drew Goodman 42, at DNVR _ Rockies. Don't forget about our guy at Patrick D. Lyons, of course. You got to subscribe to the DNVR.com for all the written content, the discounts, the access to the Discord channel, the free shirt. There's a bunch of other stuff that you get, but those are the main ones. So come and hang out with us. We appreciate you all for continuing to be absolutely awesome out there. We promise you that we will continue to be Drew Goodman and a Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.